I invite you to turn with me this morning to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It is my desire, my hope, and my prayer to God on your behalf that when I stand before you on any given day, that the Lord will enable me to set before you the gospel of God's redeeming grace in the person and work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my desire. That's what I pray for. I know and have been convinced for some time now that to preach Christ in the glory of His person and to preach Him in the purpose of God, to preach Him in His appointments of God, in the sufficiency of His work, in His incarnation as a man, the God-man, is to preach the whole counsel of God. If I'm to stand before you as a people and give an account to God in that day for the ministry that He's given me, this is what I need to do. This is the only way I can preach to you. The whole counsel of God is to preach to you Him in whom the whole counsel of God abides, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in the book of Colossians, I'm going to give you some quotes from it as we go. It says in chapter 2, in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Whatever it is that the sinner needs to know of the living God and of the will of this God, of the power of this God, of the holiness of this God, the justice of this God, how this God feels toward sinners, how this God can be approached and how He cannot be approached, anything, all these mysteries of wisdom and knowledge, they're all in Him, all in Him. Everything you need to know in Him. Study Him. In Him are hid all the treasures and learn the truth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what God said. I already know what men say, and I know what men and women tell me who hear what I preach. But this is what God said. It pleased Him. That's what pleases God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who could raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and give sight to the blind, who could do anything He wanted to do. He made the world. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. He's God in human flesh. He could do anything He wanted to do. And when it comes to evangelizing the world, do you know what He did? He picked out a handful of men. Isn't that what it says? And anointed them and sent them out to preach. Isn't that something? Reckon why He done it that way. Why? Because it pleased Him. That's what it says. It pleased Him. And those men, those handful of men, they were confirmed of God as Christ Himself was confirmed with miracles and wonders and signs. And through Him and being inspired of the Holy Spirit of God, they finished what we now call our Bible. They finished the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Apostle Paul, Peter, Jude. These men wrote by divine inspiration and gave us what we now have, the full canon of Scripture. And their message, now listen to me, their message to this lost and religious world was Christ and Him crucified. Now I've read their works and I know what they preach. They preach Christ. They preach Christ. Paul told the philosophers at Corinth that when he came to them, he came determining to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wouldn't tell them anything else. He refused. He could stand. Paul was an intellectual. Paul could stand there, talk to them about their poets and talk to them about their philosophers and talk. But he said, I determined not to know anything when I came to you. He told him, he said, if my gospel's hid, it's hid to the lost in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And I've come to know by the Spirit of God that I have nothing to say to lost sinners except to tell them how God saves sinners in Christ. I don't have anything else. I don't know anything else. I've not experienced anything else. You know, when he sent those ones, he healed. When he sent them back to their families, he didn't tell them to go back there and he said, you go back there now and you start unraveling all the deep. No, he said, you go back there and tell them what I did for you. You tell them what I did for you. And if I'm going to tell you what he did for me, I'm going to have to preach Christ because it was all Christ. In the ministry of the New Testament church, in the common faith of all of its members, in the fellowship of all God's saints, and in the attitude and conduct of His saints in this world, Christ is all. Christ is all. Now that's what it says over here in Colossians chapter 3. It says down in verse 11, In verse 10, he said, he hath put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Talking about Christ. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Ain't that what that says? Christ is all. Insomuch as this new man is concerned, insomuch as he's been clothed, insomuch as he's been created, insomuch as he worships God, Christ is all. And he's in all. That's what he needs to know. That's what he rejoices in. Christ is all. Everything else is a dream. Everything else is of the flesh and of Satan, is cursed of God. Christ is all. He's all in God's everlasting purpose of grace. Ephesians 1:4 says God chose us in Christ. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He hath predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He's all in these eternal counsels of God, in the eternal purpose of God, that purpose of grace. And then secondly, He's all in the creation and the preservation of the world. Christ is all. Christ is all in the creation and preservation of this world. Listen to Colossians 1:16. These are all verses which lead up to my text. That's why I'm reading these things too. In Colossians 1:16 it says, for by Him, talking about Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That means all things are preserved, held together by Him. He made them. He designed them. They're for Him. And John, He preserves them. He preserves them. Christ is all in the eternal counsels of God. He's all in the creation and preservation of the world. And He's all in the accomplishing of the redemption of His elect. There is no righteousness except the righteousness that was wrought out by the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no righteousness beside that. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, He's not a saved man if he's going about ignorantly like Israel was, trying to establish their own righteousness. Paul prayed for them and said they need to be saved. That man's still going about, trying to produce a righteousness, trying to gain favor with God, trying to go along and get a little better and a little better and a little better. There's no righteousness except the righteousness of Christ. He's all in the accomplishing of the redemption of His elect. He's our righteousness. And God sees His elect clothed in the righteousness of Christ. They have His garments on. God sees His elect justified by the life and death of His Son. Christ our substitute stood before the holy bar of God, bearing our guilt, bearing our shame, bearing our sin before a holy God. And He died for our sins, it says, according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. And then I know this, Christ is all as far as the sovereign rule of God over this world unto judgment. He's all. I don't know how much you think about this every day, but perhaps it's these things that came our way personally that causes me to think about them, but nobody comes or goes without His authority. Did you know that? Nobody comes or goes without He says so. In John chapter 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. In Romans 14, 7, it said, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. All your comings and goings are of Him. He is the supreme authority over all things, over providence, over those things which arrange your life and put you in situations. Who can restrain you from sin or turn you loose in it? It's all in His hand. There's no living and there is no dying apart from Him. He's the Lord. We sit around most of our lives, I know I did, thinking to myself about doing something for the Lord or what am I going to do for the Lord. It's not what I'm going to do for Him, it's what He can do for me. What's my Lord going to do with me? Not what I'm going to do with Him, what's He going to do with me? He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And He's all in this thing of the sovereign rule of God over this world. There's a man seated at the right hand of God who for the sole purpose of saving a people given to him of the Father has the right and the power to order the very providence that affords him the opportunity to come to Christ. He sits at the right hand of God for that very reason, for that very purpose. He establishes kingdoms and destroys them. He sets up men and brings them down. And He does all these things to call out and to preserve His elect for the glory of His great name. In all the eternal counsels, in creation, in the accomplishments of redemption, in the government of this world and in His church, Christ is all. It says in Colossians 1:19, after stating these things, He said, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. In all things, it says in Colossians 1:18, in all things the Father hath given Him the preeminence. Now, if we have time, I'd like to give you three things concerning this preeminence which the Father was pleased to give to His Son on our behalf. These are very simple points. One of these is this, that Christ is all from the Father. From the Father. See, this is who we have to deal with. We have to deal with God. God is absolute. God is always called upon in the Scripture as the Father. We call upon Him the Father. He's the Father. That's God. God is revealed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God, but He's God come into the flesh. So Christ, when we're talking about these things of salvation and talking to men about judgment, all these things have to do between you and the Father. They have to do between you and God. And so I want to know what relation do these things have with the Father? That's what I need to find out. It's not what men say about them. It's what God says. And Christ is all from the Father. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He's from the Father. He came from the Father. He didn't come to do His own will. He didn't sit up there and say, well, I think the Father's a little too strict. That's how men said it, set the Father apart. They call Him the Old Testament God. They call Christ the New Testament God, and they try to separate God. Christ, He's not separate from God. He's from God. And He's all from God. He said, I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Why would I read such a thing? Because I'm trying to tell you that the Father has nothing else to say except what He says in His Son. He speaks in these last days. In the old times, He spoke through His prophets. He spoke to them. In these last days, He's spoken unto us by His Son. And we'll hear His Son or go to hell. One of us. He's all from the Father. And the Father has nothing else to say, nothing else to give, nothing else to reveal, nothing else to manifest who He is or His intentions and His will. The Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He's from the Father, and He's full of grace and truth. To know Christ is to know the Father. To worship Christ is to worship the Father. To love Christ is to love the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. That's what made them Jews of man. I and the Father are one. I tell you, sometimes you can read of Christ and His humanity. And I read in there of a man named John who laid his head on his breast. Or I read in there of this man called Jesus who claimed to be the Christ. I read of him in the Scriptures, and it says at the funeral of one of his beloved, he wept. He wept. He cared. He prayed. He loved those who walked with him. He walked with them, Winston. He ate with them. He conversed with them the way you and I talk. He talked back and forth. They talked. He sat down. John had a glass of wine with his... They called him a wine bibber and a gluttonous man because he sat and ate with publicans and sinners. Can you vision you doing that with the Father? Ain't no way. No way you can get that vision in your head. That's why He sent His Son, so you could. I and the Father are one. One. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Father's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how do I know the Father loved? Because He gave His Son. That's how. He said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Father's mercy. I'll have mercy, not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God's willingness to save seeking sinners. Listen to this here in John chapter 6. I read this verse 39 to you a little while ago about the will. He said, this is the will of God, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but I'll raise it up again the last day. In verse 40, He said, and this is the will of Him that sent me. We're talking about understanding, perceiving the will of the Father in the salvation of seeking sinners. And Christ is all. That's the only place you're going to find the willingness of God is to look to Christ. This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him, sees Him as God is setting forth, and sees Him as the way, the truth, and the life, sees Him as God's supreme authority and ruler, bows to Him as Lord. They see Him, and they believe on Him. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. Who is that? That's everyone who believes on Him. What if ain't God's elect? Nobody but God's elect gonna believe on Him. Well, how do they know they're God's elect? Because they believe on Him. They believe on Him. And they can have everlasting life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. God makes known the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He's purposed in Himself, that in His own time and in His own way and by His own means, He'll gather together all things which He put in Christ. In Christ. He's all from the Father. And then secondly, He's all to the Father. We're talking about things coming from the Father, a knowledge of God, the redemption of God, the Son of God, the knowledge of God, all those things coming from the Father. Christ is all in those things. But He's all in things to the Father. Now we're talking about things coming to the Father. To the Father. He's all concerning the way to the Father. He said, I am the way. I'm telling you, we complicate things. I'm surprised sometimes anybody understands what I'm saying. I complicate things. He said, I'm the way. I am the way. He could have sat there for days talking to, who was it, Thomas that he was talking to? Or Philip? Thomas. Talking to Thomas. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. Nobody's coming to God apart from Christ. Nobody. He said in John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He tells us over in Matthew, no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. He tells Philip, have you been so long time with me, Philip? Have you not seen the Father? There's coming a day in which all Adam's sons, in the Revelations it says, it calls them the small and the great, will come and stand before God. They'll stand before the Father. And all of this God before which we'll stand, everything about Him that can be known is manifest in Jesus Christ. He's the express image of God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. When it comes to approaching God in worship or approaching God in prayer, all of those things, Christ is all. He's all. We can't come in there by our own merit. I see men stand proud in the pulpit, eyes wide open. They'd be preaching along, all of a sudden they'd just start talking to Him like He's their best friend. Start talking to the Father. I've only got one right to come into His court, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. There is no coming to Him in prayer apart from Christ. There's no coming to Him in worship apart from Christ. He's all in those things to the Father. And then thirdly, He's all with the Father. John tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in His counsels and with God in His character and with God in His glory and with God in all of His eternal purposes of grace. He's all with God. Jesus Christ is not the way around the law. This is what men try to do, and they stand in the pulpit, they talk about getting around the law. They talk about getting around justice. Talk about climbing up over the sheepfold wall to get to the sheep. Jesus Christ is not the way around the law. He's not the way around God's justice or around God's righteousness. He's not a bypass that leads around God's anger and hatred for sin. He's with God. That's what we need to come understand. He's with God. The way He saves sinners is consistent with the character of God. When I talk about not compromising the character of God, that's what I'm talking about. I'm simply saying that God is God. Those things which make Him God are His attributes, His justice, His holiness, His righteousness, His sovereignty, all those things. He's not going to compromise those things to save anybody. He's God. He's God. And Christ is with God in all things. Christ saves sinners as He satisfies God. God has to be satisfied. It says in Isaiah, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Huh? God's satisfied. The just God cannot be justifier unless He can be just when He does it. He must be just. His offended law must be honored. His justice must be satisfied. His righteousness established. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying ain't nobody going to be saved by compromising the holy character of God. It ain't going to happen. The only way of favor and acceptance is to be reconciled to God, to be brought into agreement with God. And this reconciliation, as I see it, is a threefold work. First, He reconciles us to God by doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He gives us a righteousness, and He dies for our sins. He atones for our sins. We can't do that. Can't do that. He provides for us a perfect obedience, a perfect righteousness. And that might seem like a minor point of doctrine to you, but I assure you that it's not. That's the controversy. That's one of the biggest controversies that stands before the churches over this country. Israel wandered around in their rebellious ignorance, attempting to produce a righteousness for themselves. The wise and the prudent found the imputed righteousness of Christ to be foolishness. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1. And as near as I can tell from my own experience and what I see exactly what religion's doing today. They're going about ignorantly trying to produce their own righteousness. And then secondly, He reconciles us by giving us an understanding of His reconciliation. When we talk about reconciling sinners, we're talking about reconciling men to the reconciliation of God. That's what we're talking about doing. You have to reconcile them to the reconciliation. You got to say, no, God don't save sinners because they walk down an aisle and accept Jesus as the personal Savior. He saves sinners in Christ. He saves sinners by providing them with a righteousness and by taking away their sins through the blood of His cross. That's what it is. It's to reconcile men to the Here's the reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, He said, I commit this ministry to you, and you go preach to them. You go preach to them. And then thirdly, this reconciliation will not be complete until at last we're given a new body and sin be utterly removed from our being. He's going to take sin clear out of the question. He's going to raise these bodies from the dead. Sin is going to be gone completely. Not the thought of sin, not the desires of sin, not the lust of sin. Gone. Gone. Their sins and iniquities I remember no more. But in that day, you'll be like Him. You'll be like Him. What am I saying? I'm saying that I have nothing else to say to you but Christ. Christ is all. Christ is all. Look to Him, rest in Him, rejoice in Him, study Him, worship in Him. We don't even get in trouble till we start thinking otherwise, do we? Get thinking about this and that, and I don't pray enough, and I don't read enough. Well, sure you don't. If you read 24/7, you couldn't read enough. If you studied 24/7, you couldn't study enough. And if you could, you'd really be in trouble, because now you got a righteousness in it. Christ is all. Don't just forget these other things and look to Him. Look to Him. And in looking to Him, this is what it says. Every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself. That's how we're purified. God, we look to Him. And in thanksgiving and gratitude and love for Him, you're purified in that. Your whole life changes. Your attitude changes. Your motives change. All of these things change, and you're purified in a sense by this knowledge and looking to Christ. But we get off on these little issues, boy, and then we start setting standards and we start cutting people out. It's nothing but a mess. That's all it is. That's all it is. We preach Christ. And preaching Christ is all. The whole counsel of God. We preach Him. And in doing that, we please Him. He pleases God. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the inspiration of Your Spirit who preserved these things, who caused these men to think on these things and experience these things and preach these things to us. We thank You for a source that we can go to and look and prove what we hear and see what You see. And we thank You for Your Spirit that opens our hearts and minds and conquers these wills and brings us into submission to You. Bless now the rest of this day, our fellowship, and the Lord's table as we take it. Father, we love You. We thank You for all things. Receive now our thanksgiving for Christ's sake. Amen.